Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman, and the permanently baffled Mr. Newbie. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
Whoa, that was a bit loud.
you do rate yourself.
It's a thing I got off the internet. I didn't know what it was and it was ever so loud. Anyway, this week in Ambridge was a bit like when you go and see a pantomime and there's all the guff about Ali Baba being sent away with Cinderella and the lady in the pretty dress sings a song and it all gets a bit sad. Then to cheer everyone up and to allow the principal boy to nip out to the Neeser to get more Rothmans and a tango for Uncle Abenaza, there's a bit with the dame and the two ugly sisters up a stepladder slopping wallpaper paste about and knocking buckets over and hitting each other with bits of wood. And all the under sevens in the audience who've been eating Haribo since December the 2nd laugh. Ha ha ha! And this week we were the under sevens. Yes. We began the week at the dairy with Clary huffing and puffing before Helen rushed off to put the culture into the vat. First time there's been any culture in Ambridge. Crusty announced that she had knits, which would be a simply marvellous addition to the Bridge Farm range. Clary then unscrewed a bit of the yoghurt nozzle and sprayed her with blackcurrant puree just to remind her who's boss. Lillian and Tony rallied to Jennifer's side in her hour of need. Lillian said, "Oh, Alice doesn't drink that much. I mean, only as much as me. And that's not much, is it?" Tony suggested that Alice might like to come to Bridge Farm for the day, and Lillian suggested she could have a twang on her banjo. Either of those things would be enough to have me cantering towards the cocktail cabinet like a Mustang. Why not go the whole hog and have Alice produce the village show? She'd be on crack in a fortnight. Over at the Batcave, Wolverine and the Incredible Hulk were lined up on the shelf in the sitting room. "I cannot bear them looking down on me," said Helen. "We all look down on you, Helen. It's not just Wolverine." Ian popped over to help Helen assemble Lee's porta potty at the new house, having dumped his baby on Jenny, darling. Poor old bag. No sooner had she got a shot of Martha than Adam and Ian, noticing that she was having a 5-minute sit-down, immediately foisted their infant on her. "Come along, Mum, can't have you sitting down. Upsy-daisy, off to the playground." I'm beginning to think that what's happening in Ambridge is elder abuse. Anyway, Ian said it had been very distressing for him to see Helen in an abusive relationship, but that didn't seem to have prompted him getting involved at the time. But hey-ho. There was a really, really, really funny bit about Lee's superhero figures being on a shelf, a low shelf and then a high shelf. That was very, very amusing. Jennifer's offloaded all her old shite onto Helen, who is now using tagines as laundry baskets, dining chairs, and in moments of emergency, commodes. Helen then asked Ian if he could pop in and check that Lee was coping with the painting, making sure he'd done up to the edges, coloured in the dolly's face and knocked his water jug over. For God's sake, if she's that concerned about his mental competency, why is she letting him take her two small children, the psycho and the mute, to a DIY shop, which is rife with opportunities for damage and potential death? Anyway, because he's a 9-year-old, Lee allowed primary age children to do the interior design for his new home and then had a bash at drilling with his Fisher-Price drilling action tool set with washable box and knocked the house down. Adam, the human soporific, was in sparkling form. "I don't want to see your silly bedroom, Lee," he said. "It looks shite." Ian suggested they might help Lee, and Adam said, "Are you out of your mind?" Oh, he's so warm and generous, isn't he? Eventually, all the little figures got put up and the pictures got hung. Most of them seemed to be of people called Bruce. I suspect they were pictures of his Play Your Cards Right days, or possibly the Generation Game, rather than Strictly. But who knows? It's not my thing, really. Rory had a cunning plan to finally escape from the guinea pig hutch in which he lives with Jennifer and Brian by forcing Alice to take his place in the top bunk. Jenny Darling put the kibosh on that, but Rory, sick of Brian's overdone chops, persisted until he was given permission to stay with the Chuckle Brothers and little Xander. He is going to be missing those chops, though, when he realises that everything he eats from now on is going to come with a foam and a jus. Neil popped over to see Shula to share his Alice woes. Shula appeared to be having a bath in the tack room. Neil perched on the edge of the tub and told Shula that the social worker was very professional. What was he expecting? Someone in clown shoes honking a horn? Over at Lower Loxley, Vince had glimpsed Elizabeth waiting, panting for him in her temperly ruffled dress, gazing wistfully out of the orangery window, and thought bugger that and shot off to see Rex and the pigs instead. She tracked him down and ticked him off archly before announcing she was treating him to a salad for lunch. Ooh, hold me back. He tried to cheer her up by giving her a second-hand industrial fridge and wanting to introduce a premium sausage man into their arrangement. In fact, he seemed somewhat fixated on the premium sausage man, nearly as much as he is obsessed with Rex. To cap off a smoochy afternoon, he then smeared pig shit over her carpet. Quite the romantics, aren't they? However, on the plus side, they aren't decorating yet. The end.
I love that panto analogy. I hadn't thought about that. But it
that's
was,
what it remained, was
it
that.
Was it was exactly yep. that. And you know, like, all the kids love that bit and all the adults are like, oh my God.
Thinking, can't if we this go be to the bar yet? If we go to the bar now, we'll get the drinks in, you just come out as soon as it's done.
Because you think, oh, great, there's one more scene of Cinderella. Yeah. But, oh, no, Buttons has to get his bucket out. And swish his load around. Oh, God. My heart sinks if they do wallpapering. I hadn't thought about that. It reminded me of Queer Eye. Nothing to do with Adam and Ian.
Oh,
but,
them know, like, coming in and saying
yeah, because Bobby always does the decorating and, you know, whoever's house is just a complete hilarious shithole. Yes. And no, but I, you're so cynical. I thought I chuckled along with all the funny things about the figures and rolled my eyes.
But for Helen to say to Ian, can you go and keep an eye on him and make sure he's... you know, this is her partner.
It's like they're married at, you know, first date. Because it's like, oh, hang on a minute. You're moving in together, but clearly you know nothing about Lee. Mm. Haven't you been to his flat? Because presumably the figures are all over his flat. Yeah. And also, isn't it a bit weird if you move in with someone and you put your poster up in the... You know, it's just like, surely you'd just do all that together, wouldn't you?
And
first
also,
of all, move the furniture in.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'd sort of just
who still
put
it has
together.
Posters in their mid-30s?
I know, because even worse, the Marvel poster was replaced by a Girl with a Pearl Earring poster. I mean, if it was the original, fair enough. But what?
The next one, there's going to be the Joshua tree and Betty Blue on the wall.
It's like, it didn't even sound like it was framed.
No, I know, just like blue tacked on with like one dog-eared corner hanging down.
But it has got weirder in that Helen is feels like she is Lee's mum.
Yes.
He's another boy, yeah. Which I actually ended up, I started the week going, oh, little old Lee, such a wally. But then actually by the end of the week, when they were having that moment on the bench, I found him really endearing.
Really?
Because despite, I like felt like I really went on his journey with him, Lucy. Like from just being patronized the whole time about his figures to ending up and like just because actually he is not a sort of testosterone-fueled, you know, like Helen said, it's really lovely that he can ask his friends for help and he's not, you know, he can go, I don't know what I'm doing with this drill. I've made a mess of everything, but I really want to put a spider stencil up. I thought that was sweet.
Well, he is the anti-Rob, which was very, very evident.
Very that's clear. What she's saying. Become but, the Rob.
Yeah. But it's forcing her, his kind of, and also I can't bear that. Oh, aren't men funny? They're just so rubbish. You know, they can't cook and they can't do anything.
The trouble is, the chemistry doesn't work.
No.
It wasn't like Queer Eye because Adam and Ian are quite clunky together anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they came in and were both sort of horrible, actually, to Lee.
It wasn't
really
good
not
cop,
his
bad
friends.
Cop. It was just horrible cops.
And just was so rude.
Yeah, when he said, could you help me? And Adam went, are you out of your mind? I thought, no, just actually, I'm really pushed this week. Would have done it. Not, are you out of your mind?
But as I said to you earlier, it is an indication of their sex life. Because yes. There's when Ian got his drill out and Adam went, yes, sir, you're like, okay. So there's something a bit kinky going on here. That's what was my take on it. And because
you said I was cynical, you're clearly just perverted because that hadn't crossed my mind.
I felt like it was a shame that, you know, because there was all that like Three Amigos stuff, but actually it didn't feel like there was any bond between them. Adam was so, I mean, Ian was so aggressive with Lee.
Three amigos who didn't know each other very well, that's what it was.
And who really didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Lee was like, God, I only invited you over because Helen suggested
it. Yeah.
Wish I hadn't blimming bothered. I wish I hadn't bloody started painting. I never painted my girls' room. I mean, it's like he's also forgotten he's got daughters.
That's what I was going to say. Where are they? Have they been consulted? Where are they supposed to be sleeping? When, he hasn't seen them for bloody weeks, as far as I know.
Do you remember when they moved in and they were like, yeah, and they'll be room. Or yeah. When they were deciding where they're going to go. And they were like, make sure we've got room for the girls. Well, yeah. Clearly, there's no room for the girls. And their room is painted. Well, yeah.
The girls' room's probably covered in pink and Sylvanian pink. Families.
Yeah, even though they're like 18, aren't they? Yeah, exactly. 18 and 21.
Boys like God, superheroes, girls like pink.
Helen goes, I know, Lee, why don't you paint the boys' room and I'll give the girls' room a makeover? Because you remember that special flower bracelet I made for them once?
That went straight in the bin the first chance she got.
And the Hieronymus Bosch just, you know, thrown out of Ian's mouth. Yeah, as you do. Just like Hieronymus Bosch. What? Are you an art historian?
Ian
now?
Actually had some good lines this week.
Yes, it was very funny. I thought it was genuinely very funny.
I didn't mind the Ian and Adam bits. It's the Lee and Helen bits that
I'd have to disagree. I thought them sitting on the bench and him saying, I actually thought it was really sweet. I thought I finally understood Lee, and I thought, good for you for just being who you are.
Mm.
I was really thought that was lovely, and also he's such a different character from any of the other men in the village.
Yeah, well, there's no toxic masculinity with Lee, is there?
No.
Which
and
is
he
odd
loves
considering
himself.
he's a karate instructor, which you sort of associate with, you know,
drills and torsos and being good at. When he was like, yeah, my ex, she used to ask me to just change the kitchen.
Yeah.
He was like,
was it re-pump the washing machine? No.
Hang on, you've never ever bought a drill, but she expected you to change the kitchen. What? It was so funny. I think she actually just wanted to kill him.
Yes.
She yeah, was like, yeah.
Wet your fingers, wet your fingers.
I
now,
bought
now.
You a drill and I've run the bath. Could you do some...
underwater drilling.
I'll just plug it in for you.
I know, yes, it is odd wearing wellies inside, isn't it? But
and who is Keith? Keith was looking after Xander. You said Jenny was looking after Xander. I've put Keith.
Kate.
Good. Okay, scrap that. In my notes I've put who is Keith? Is Xander okay? And then
were you hoping we were gonna get a 20-minute bit yes. out of surmising yes. who Keith might be, and then yes, you realised you just misheard it.
I've also put who was that electrician? Who was that? You know that Adam
just an electrician? No, just because they're a gay couple doesn't mean that.
No, it wasn't just me. Someone on Twitter said, oh yeah,
oh
that electrician,
wasn't it? Oh, there was a load of
because he was all funny about it. He was like, oh, I'll see if I can find his number. I haven't texted him since that last shag, wasn't it? It felt like that.
I thought it was one of them had tried to do something and it had gone wrong, and they'd said, no, you've got to get someone proper in, and it was a row.
Oh, I just assumed it was one of Adam's conquests in the days when he was doing stuff in the polytunnels.
Well, I think he still would be, were it not for lockdown and Brexit and the fact that there's nobody in the bloody polytunnels.
Yes. Yeah, Brexit is really damaging to his sex life.
Neil and Shula, yes. What did we think about
That's
that?
That's my next note.
Okay, yes.
Shula and Neil, sex in the saddle room.
Sex in the saddle. What goes through your mind when you write them?
I know.
Who is
oh my
Keith?
God.
Sex in the saddle room. Are you drunk when you write
well,
them?
Well, I just thought there was quite a lot of innuendo in this week's. He was in the tack room, you know, one of them. But then it's because I went on Twitter this week, Lucy, and it just influences me because people were going, oh, well, Shula and Neil.
Yeah, yes.
So they were cozying up and, you know, as you said, Shula was in the bath.
Yes.
Neil was sitting on the side.
Yes.
It was very sweet. But it didn't go any further, obviously.
Neil did sound faintly on the edge. But Shula was actually quite helpful this time rather than just making it worse.
And rather than making it about her, she was,
Although she did, of course, say, let me speak to her. I'll make it all right. I was thinking, oh, my God, it's the last thing I'd want.
Neil was like, no.
Don't you come near her. I'm in enough shit already.
Shula was doing her shaky voice.
Yeah.
I can't remember it now, but she said something like, I've got one of the girls exercising banjo regularly. I wrote that down because if you listen
like
again,
the mule.
It sounds like that. You should go and listen back to that live and you're like, wow.
But I thought she was. Do you know who we haven't heard from the Brookfield Archerses for ages, have we?
Oh, well, we had enough, haven't we, I suppose. We got such a fill of them in lockdown. It was only them doing the monologues.
I want to know how Ruth Archer can make the Alice storyline somehow a personal insult directed at her. I can't believe that she's done that.
No, it's not fair, David. She said she'd come over and do some engineering.
I want a drink too, David, and she's drunk all.
Oh, that's top of my notes.
Yes?
You were right. You were totally right in that this Alice storyline has made the Aldridges look at their own drinking.
Yes.
Very, very insightful, Lucy.
Well, not really. It's just because it's a press office storyline, and one of the things that they always bang on about alcoholism is that in this country, we make everything about... Have you looked at birthday cards?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to buy a birthday card for a woman that doesn't drink?
Oh, you're totally right. But I make...
For
you
second
know, I don't...
time! Da-da-da!
Yeah.
Wind down for the weekend. Blah, blah, blah. It's like we're obsessed with alcohol. We can't, like Jennifer said, we can't do anything without alcohol. Mm. And she's not just talking about the Aldridges. That's everybody. It's seen as social grease.
Yes, well
it's
socially abnormal if you don't drink.
Yep.
Like my friend who had a 40th the other day, she doesn't drink and... somebody had said to her, why aren't you drinking? And she was like, well, I don't drink. And they were like, what's all that about? It's like, what's it not about anything.
Yeah.
She just doesn't drink.
It's just a choice.
It's like
it's nothing to do with you.
No, it's... Or sometimes it is for a sort of personal reason, but you just accept that some people do not drink alcohol. Like some people don't drink Coke or like really Happy Shop or Orange Squash. It's just like a personal choice.
Yes.
Sorry to. I'm sure Happy Shop or Orange Squash is really nice. But you know that really cheap
orange
squash.
If you like being up until 4 o'clock in the morning, yes.
That really orangey one.
Yes. Yes, I think Jennifer is at the bargaining stage in that she can't do anything to... She said, I've never felt more helpless in my life. So she's frantically looking around for what can I do? And the only thing she can think of to do is to do the thing that Alice can't do. So if Alice can't stop drinking, she's going to stop drinking.
No, but it's also sort of... I mean, no, not taking responsibility for it at all because it's not their fault. But actually, I guess it's quite... It's interesting to look at your own lifestyle and wonder if that has any influence on your children.
Yeah.
And obviously it doesn't. And then, like, you know, Shula was... Who was it that said... Oh no, it was Neil, bless him. You know, some people can take a drink and others can't. And and you know what I keep thinking with Alice is that... When it's only really Neil that gets it and Shula, but why isn't she being treated like someone with an illness rather than, you know, like, You know, why is it she's just bad person?
Yeah.
When actually, if she was being treated, you know, like she has an illness, then perhaps. But then, I mean, it's probably hard.
The one
it?
Person that she needs to talk to probably is Alistair, because he has the same addiction.
Oh, God, I can't believe Shula didn't clock that.
But now he gets wheeled out to speak to it, like he talked to...
Yes, about addiction, Gavin, about gambling.
Gavin, about his pretend gambling addiction.
Ooh, actually, Alistair, it's more than that. It's gambling with people's lives, actually. Oh, do you remember them days? Them modern slavery days?
Wasn't it nice then? Because it wasn't a baby. That's
well, you know
problem.
What?
Yes.
I was walking past the building site the other day, Lucy. Mm. I'm getting very Emma. And this van rolled up, like a big white van. And it was at the building site. And like a couple of blokes got out the front. And then they opened the back. And I was like, oh my God, it's going to be like 20 slaves getting out. No one got out. But anyway, I just
I love
thoroughly...
your stories, Harriet. I love them.
They're just so good, aren't they? I'm often complimented on the punchlines.
Do you get asked to do after dinner speaking
oh, yes.
often?
Oh, yes. I'm really good at starting a story.
And then no one got
off.
Out anyway.
But I'm not one of those people who would buy a cushion with gin o'clock on it.
Or a little sign in pastel colours dangled on string off.
Mummy's special Prosecco glass.
This house runs on Prosecco and love. No, it doesn't. It runs
just
on
runs
temazepam
on
and bitterness. That's what it runs on. I think that... The Vince and Elizabeth stuff was very odd.
I
don't know how we ended up leaping from would you like a fridge to I love you. It was very peculiar.
Also, just it was just the way, you know, he really chose his moment, didn't he? Sort of like treading pig shit all over her kitchen and then, oh, don't mind me, I love you. Sorry about the smell. Oh, Vince, I just can't really concentrate on anything apart from this appalling smell.
Because my
so.
Eyes are watering.
No, I just thought it was a bit random.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe he... But then it was good that she didn't sort of, you know, go, oh, me too.
Yes,
But then, you know, I guess that'll just be a slow burn. Mm. They've been together for a while. They've been going steady a while.
I just can't see him as an I love you man, really.
No, but he's quite soppy. Do you remember he was quite soppy about his daughter? And
she'll now put the mockers on him, won't she? She'll now go into reverse because she'll be a bit freaked out.
Yes, and also, well, because he is sort of encroaching on Lower Loxley now that there's pigs involved. He's got his crush on Rex, as he said. He's my kind of man, actually.
I've thought, Elizabeth, what Lower Loxley needs is an abattoir. Can you imagine?
That's
Let's turn the orangery into an abattoir.
That's where it's heading.
Everyone will be sitting there eating their, you know, cream teas and millionaire's shortbread while there's blokes in white hats chopping up cattle next to them. We have had a million emails this week, so
I'm so happy
them.
That we've got a million listeners, Lucy.
I know.
Fantastic. We've gone from like 10 to a million in a week.
I know.
It's all
really
that PR
good.
We're doing.
Dear Lucy, Harriet, Mr. Newbie, this is from Jeff Horn. I'm emailing to say a massive thank you for keeping my chin up in a difficult time. Chin up being the exact term. He had to have a mass removed from his jaw. Yuck. In April, thankfully it turned out to be benign, but 2 weeks ago my jaw fractured spontaneously while biting into, of all things, a Pringle. So now I'm home from hospital having had my jaw wired completely closed for the next 6 weeks, living on total nutrition drinks and finally catching up on Ambridge on the couch. I've taken a few minutes out to email you as I wait for the dihydrocodeine to work.
God.
Do you know what? I think most of our listeners are probably drugged. I had to take a double dose after listening to Febreze of Felpersham because trying to stifle laughter whilst wired up is quite a challenge. And I
wait for Gay Grables.
Yeah. I am going to apply for a job as Ambridge's newest silent character. For obvious reasons, it'll have to be silent. And it makes total sense that I should cover for Susan in the dairy. Over the past weeks, I've become more than expert in the consumption of kefir. Now, if only I can persuade Sausage Boy to reinstate the kefir production line, I know I can make it a success. What do you think? Would I be in with a chance over Kirsty? I wow. promise well, to take my codeine before listening from now on, he says. Lots of love, Jeff.
How hygienic is the jaw brace?
Oh, that's true.
What Clary will be asking.
Yep. Well, I don't think Clary is in any position, as she just sprayed the entire dairy and her workmate in blackcurrant puree or whatever it was.
But I am. I feel...
See, that was more panto action, wasn't it? We had the comedy cooking. You have the comedy cooking and the comedy wallpapering, yes. And we had both.
Yes, it was actually side by side.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the girls' version and the boys' version.
Wearing funny hats and everything.
And but actually, Kirsty was very funny with Clary, wasn't she?
She was.
Yes,
yeah.
Clary. What, just like last time. Okay. It was funny that. But back to poor old Jeff.
Yes. I know, that sounds awful.
Lucy, you haven't sort of given your reaction and how awful that is. It's awful.
It is awful.
Yes.
Yes.
Not that it's all about me, but I had a wisdom tooth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I didn't know you'd had it. Because
linking.
You told the last thing you said to me was, it's psychosomatic.
Yes.
The pain is completely gone and I've just had to lie to the dentist. That's what, that was the last. So forgive me for not inquiring about your psychosomatic tooth pain. Imaginary tooth pain, Harriet.
Nothing compared to Jeff's jaw.
No, that's
poor
true.
Thing. Because I wanted to talk about my wisdom teeth and now I just feel like I just can't. It's
Go
just,
ahead.
It's far
Go
too
ahead.
Small a thing.
Not at all. We're all a dog.
Well, Lucy,
yes.
I thought it was going to be terribly dramatic. And I did say to the dentist, I don't have any pain anymore. So can we just not do this? And he was like,
no.
We're going to do it.
Yes.
And I was very nervous, and I because it, I don't know, it just sort of reminded me of giving birth.
Oh.
And, well, you know, having something taken out.
Are you
and
sure
it, you
he
know
was a dentist? Because he shouldn't have been down that end.
The first thing he said when he put his goggles on was, forceps!
Oh.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, after he'd given me the needle.
Right.
Anyway, so I was literally shaking, and then he went, forceps! And I was like, and then he was like, okay, we're all done. And that was it, that was it. Check. Another one.
Miss Carmichael, stop crying. Get up off the floor.
I was literally
you
like
seem
crying
to wet yourself.
With,
Don't
crying with
that.
Relief. I thought it was going to be really dramatic, like Jeff's jaw. It was so pain free and easy peasy that I felt a right old Wally for being such a baby. And I shouldn't be talking about it because I haven't had my jaw wired and I don't have to keep my mouth shut. And I can just eat things like normal as well. I was like, yay, I'll be eating ice cream for a week.
Watch out for Pringles, though, because that's what did for Jeff. So
oh
be
my
careful.
God. Well, they are very sharp.
Yes. No, they're round. What do you
but
mean?
But they're sharp.
Oh, sharp.
If you get a bit of Pringles stuck in your throat, that is not a nice experience.
Okay.
So I'm just warning everybody. I think
this
we should,
was a public health warning.
I think we should
if you
thank
have been
Jeff
affected,
for bringing that to our attention.
If you've been affected by issues raised in this podcast about the sharpness
of
Pringles.
Really, I hope he gets better soon because
yes.
That sounds really horrible.
It does indeed sound horrible.
Boring and painful.
And now we move on to Leslie Wood, who says, here on the Isle of Wight, Asda is in trouble for refusing to sell alcohol to a woman because she had her 17-year-old daughter with her at the time.
What?
Yours, Leslie
Whoa.
Wood.
She
isn't
say
that odd?
The cashier must have been an Archer's listener.
Yes.
But what?
I know.
Surely that's very odd.
That's
isn't
really
it?
Yes. That's a Jobsworth, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's somebody who's been given epaulettes at some stage, I would say. right. Pauline, who said, this is basically a fan letter, yet another one to Mr. Newby. I loved the visit to Gay Grables. Was that Mr. Newby as Helmet Shit Muffler? Mr. Newby is a treasure. She said, you spent a lot of time discussing whether or not Krusty still worked at Gay Grables and answered your own question. Have a lovely week, Pauline from Birmingham. Well, yes, we like to go all the way around the houses, Pauline, before we arrive at the conclusion that we came to 10 minutes earlier.
Mr. Newby was, I thought he was German after that.
I think he does speak very good German. Obviously.
I mean, it was amazing, wasn't it? I'm hoping he's going to do all his new monologues in his German voice now, in his shit Müller voice. It was very, very funny.
Bernie Maguire said, lovely community spirit in Ambridge this week. So comforting. Thank you, scriptwriters. But Brian, Jennifer and Alice still in dangerous denial. When is someone going to suggest AA and Al-Anon or similar? Still loving the podcast and hoping that Mr. Newby is not too upset. Mr. Newby is permanently upset, Bernie. I wouldn't...
Don't worry. How can he be upset after his triumph at Gay Grables?
I know. I don't know. I think he's going for the BAFTA. He's acting us all off the stage, Harriet.
Yeah, he's going to end up with his own podcast.
Yeah.
Other podcasts are not available.
Katie Faulkner said... I realised that Helen agonising over moving Lee's action figures was a lead up to a comparison between Lee and Rob and how Helen has found happiness. But it made me laugh because when I moved in with my boyfriend, now husband, 2 years ago, he had a corner display cabinet in the living room full of the same action figures. I have never suggested moving them, even though they are quite hideous. What does this say about me? Also, what possessions do you think Helen has that Lee hates? Maybe all her awards for Borsetshire Blue. With all best wishes, Katie. I think she's got Enya albums. I think she's got Enya she's albums coming out of the Watusi.
And pony rosettes.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't actually think that it was humanly possible to have a corner cabinet display of action figures.
Well,
but clearly it is. Ah. Clearly it's more common than we thought. I didn't.
Maybe
I
it's because,
clock.
Katie, you don't treat your husband like your child. Maybe that's it. Could be.
Let him have his independence.
Like at the end, the last scene, when she said, he wants to get a drum kit. And Ian went, what? What are you going to do? I thought, calm down. It's not your house. It's not your relationship. And he is 50% of this partnership. It is not up to you to decide, or Helen, to allow him.
Ian was basically Rob in this
week, wasn't he? He was like a power-crazed lunatic, like Mussolini walking.
Ian, did you not realise you can get headphones for drum kits nowadays?
Yes.
You don't even need, don't worry, Ian, no one's going to play it near you when you're having your quiet lie down on the sofa thinking about your souffles.
And he was, although he was funny, he was still horrible funny.
Yeah, I was shocked, actually. But then he has always been super protective about Helen, hasn't he?
I bet everything Helen has got is magnolia and beige. And it's
but, you know, you say that about Helen. And then Helen, I always sort of think that about Helen. And then she'll say something quite witty or wry. Or, you know, like when she was like, oh, I noticed that was quite hard for you, putting that Hulk next to Henry's bed or whoever it was. Occasionally she'll be quite dry and sharp and you're like, oh, she has got a sense of humour. And then it's like on that bench, I really did see how their relationship would work. I thought they were quite sweetly matched, actually, because Helen does have a sort of sweet vulnerability under all her blandness.
Will make harsh. It work. I think what annoys me is the ha-ha, aren't men awful thing.
Yeah, but it wasn't like that because Lee was awful, but then the other two...
It was like that because it was, oh, men are big children. Oh. Tony with his... David with his toy farm. Tony with his bloody train set. Him with his cartoon thing. If they portrayed a woman like that, there would be a bloody outcry.
Well, what about Joy with her nudity?
That's grown up, though. Getting your kit off. Very grown up.
Just weird for our Umbridge on the couch. That wasn't very good. That wasn't. Cut that. Cut that, Lucy. That was not a good impression. God.
Tom Peach has also emailed us.
Wow.
And said...
Great name.
This was about the gym thing, about how he dealt with Alish coming in and saying, give me the finest wines known to humanity. He said Jim would have been trained before being allowed to sell alcohol. Selling alcohol to a drunk person or to a person likely to harm themselves with alcohol is illegal. Jim would have said, sorry, you're drunk, I can't sell you alcohol. When she threatened to get in the car and go to a dodgy alcohol sales place to get her vodka, then Jim would have called Harrison Ford, Anglia. Cheers, Tom in Sydney. P.S. Love the podcast. As expats who have not lived in the UK now for the best part of 20 years, we need the Archers to stay in touch. I've listened to it while cycling through the snow in Amsterdam, on a ferry on Sydney Harbour, and at a blackjack table in Las Vegas, amongst other places.
Oh, that is so brilliant. And now he's in Sydney and he's still listening. Oh my God, I feel like a little bit of a hot flush coming on. I quite like to see him at that blackjack table, Lisa.
Only because he's called Tom Peach.
I like
and you immediately
it.
Have an idea of some fresh-faced farmhand. I know what
people
you're like.
Called Tom are always quite sexy.
Yes, this is true. Look at Tom Forrest. Well, Tom Peach, who we clearly have a massive crush on now.
He really is a peach. Oh my God. I mean, as I was saying last week, if we were men, we would yes. not be allowed to speak like
no.
this.
Oh my God. Absolutely not. However, Mr. Peach, who we're now going to treat with extreme reverence, you use the words, Jim would have been trained before being allowed to sell alcohol. This is the village shop, Tom, where Susan makes the prices up for a start. Nobody's been trained in anything. They make their own tabards. And
we're so busy doing the tabards. I didn't have time to do the training, Lucy.
She managed to send out an offensive letter to every pensioner in the village last week. So I think the fact that,
I mean,
as volunteers, that they'd actually gone through training to be allowed to sell alcohol, I really think that you're overambitious there.
Just get back to the beach, Tom. Put your headphones on and send us another email.
In your badgie smugglers. Catherine Rowan Jones, with the lovely voice, has emailed and said, she was seriously impressed by Mr. Newby's flow of German. Now she says, Lee of the pink crayon. Given his predilection for action figures, I imagine that he too has a moulded lower torso with sprayed on underpants to conceal anything suggestive. This may suit Helen just fine. Why are the scriptwriters ridiculing a man who lacks DIY skills? If the BBC yes. want younger listeners, this is totally arse about face, as Generation Rent is such a big demographic. As for Alish, I recall clearly she had strong doubts about continuing the surprise pregnancy after passing out by the roadside. I suspect she was trying to tell Chris she wanted determination when he leapt in feet first, overjoyed at the prospect of fatherhood. Still, you can't have a drama without, well, drama. Cheers, yes. Catherine Rowan-Jones. Absolutely, Catherine. Completely agree.
Yes. But then if we applied that to the podcast, we'd literally have nothing to talk about.
Yes. Apart from...
We have to pretend it's real. Because otherwise it would just be like, did you listen to The Archers this week? Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah. It was good. Okay. See you next week, Lucy.
There were some people doing some things quietly. There's no... Nothing.
We would just be explaining fine. What had happened.
Yeah.
Which people don't need because they've listened to it.
Yes. Yes.
We would just be doing the omnibus.
Harriet, let's not start pulling on that thread or the whole bloody podcast will unravel.
Oh my God. I'm going to go away and seriously think about what the hell our podcast is for.
It's for people to email us and tell us about all the exciting places they've listened to The Archers in that we haven't been.
Yeah, more of that. We could do like postcards from The Archers.
Good idea.
Okay,
yes.
Thanks.
I love
the first
that
one I've ever had.
Well, it's better than the previous Harriet segment we had, which is what the hell is Harriet talking about, which was last week. So I think postcards from The Archers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, let's put that into our format, Lucy. Okay.
Like we have a format.
Writing it down in the notes.
A collection of.
Under Adam's sex life, I'll write postcards from The Archers. Okay, good.
Do you really think that's what their sex life is like?
No, but I have written. This is my notes are so random. There was a really funny moment where Adam went, relax, Lee. He went, relax, Lee. I had to look ill on the aquaponics. And then Ian went, and I can't do Ian's voice. But,
I'm
pushing a split shift right to the limit, but I bought the bedding. I had to pause it. Because I was like, oh, is this code?
I'm not sure you should be pushing a split shift.
It sounds really painful.
Yes.
But I bought the bedding.
Lou should. I'm pushing a split shift. It's fine. The Lou's just out there. Take all the time you want. When you're in no rush, it's fine.
That's if you. The thing is, we should also have a lines in isolation segment.
Oh, my other Ian favourite was I'm up to my ears in coffee custard. Sounds revolting.
Oh dear.
Oh, Mr. Newbie, need to do Newbie.
Oh, can you do it in German?
No.
Oh.
I preface my bit this week with the news that I have now heard that voicemail.
Yes.
Intrepid listener Jilly very kindly sent me a link to a recording of the omnibus from that week and, well, blimey. Up until now, I've had a lot of sympathy with Alice. She does, after all, have a disease. But it's hard to feel for the kind of person who'd have such thoroughly unkind thoughts about somebody else, regardless of whether they ever said them out loud or not. I'm not sure I'm ever going to like Alice now. And it really makes me wonder about Neil's assertion this week that he'd have her back as daughter-in-law like a shot if she sorts herself out. I have to wonder what she's ever brought to the table, so to speak. What am I missing? Anyway, on with the show, and it's all coming out now, although some of it might be 2020 hindsight. Clary, for instance, now knew all along that Alice was an alcoholic, and I'll bet she's not the only one. She also sounds less than impressed when Krusty turns up for her first day at the dairy. Do they have history, or is Clary just upset that what started as a little time off for Susan now seems to have escalated into permanent retirement? Have you ever seen the film The 40-Year-Old Virgin? That's me. Except less hairy, I'd imagine. Oh. I bet Lee's all shiny, like a candle.
Oh, yes. Anyway,
whatever you might think about her, is a functioning adult. So for the life of me, I cannot think what she's getting out of this relationship with the world's only body-negative karate instructor. Everything you need to know about the Aldridges can be learned from the fact that they think Kate is a responsible adult and that leaving her with Alice amounts to chaperoning rather than the blind leading the blind. It's my fervent hope that, if nothing else comes out of this whole alcoholism shitshow, at least one or two members of the family should develop some self-awareness.
Ha ha ha.
My breath.
No.
Bit of a bombshell from Lillian here, though, admitting that she encouraged Alice to drink when she was pregnant. I mean, I know plenty of women who've had the odd drink when they were pregnant, and God knows, if I'd ever had to carry a child, I fear I'd have been having scotch for breakfast. But encouraging a pregnant woman to drink because it wasn't frowned upon in days gone by? Who the hell does something like that? It's just weird. I know I haven't been listening for long, but I wasn't previously aware of any connection between Helen and Ian. I mean, of course they knew each other at some level. They're not Rex and Mince after all. But they're talking like they've been busy mates forever, and this is news to me. Mm. Helen's an archer and Ian's an Aldridge in law, right? And as far as I know, Helen's never worked at Gay Grables. So what's the connection? And why is Ian giving up Xander time to help Helen move? I wasn't around for the Rob stuff, so it never really crossed my mind, but of course it makes perfect sense that Helen would be looking for somebody as uncomplicated and unthreatening as Lee. Fine, I suppose I don't really think he's a creepy danger after all. I do still wish that Helen would leave him and find somebody who was uncomplicated and unthreatening and had some semblance of a personality or even the faintest whiff of charisma, though. Is that too much to ask? I was wondering what all this gum flapping between Mince and Lizzie was about because it didn't seem to be going anywhere. Mince's idea to install fridges for, you know, a meat business doesn't seem that outlandish to me. But it looks like it's just been a setup for, I don't know what really, some sort of relationship intrigue? First of all, Lizzie's jealous of Mince spending time with Rex, and then she's responding to what is presumably his first declaration of love by telling him that she's fond of him.
Mm.
Adam's a smarmy bugger, isn't he?
Yep.
I hope he doesn't sound like that in real life, otherwise he must get punched a lot in bars. Still, it could be worse. He could be Lee, who now seems for all the world like a particularly brainless puppy that's been put in charge of building a large Hadron Collider. Poor old Helen's going to come home to a smouldering crater in which Lee is proudly standing, holding a drill that was meant to be used on an offshore rig. What's the big deal with getting everything sorted out before Helen comes home?
Yes.
I don't understand this. I think it's meant to be charming and funny, but it's just really odd. Oh, and now kissing noises. Oh, you've all talked about it, and I took it with a pinch of salt, but now I've actually heard it, and fine, it wasn't exactly shower sex, but nonetheless, I hope I never hear it again.
Oh, you
check
will.
In on change.org tomorrow morning to sign my petition against this sort of thing. please. I think I'm starting to get the hang of Brian, and would like to submit for your listening pleasure what I believe to be the patented Brian Aldridge three-step plan to dealing with a crisis. 1. Play everything down to the point where nothing is actually a serious problem.
Yeah.
2. When challenged on this approach, pretend to take it on board by saying something along the lines of, fair enough, but, or, oh, this happens to everybody, or, it hasn't quite been like that, Jenny. And 3. Return to step 1. I do think that Jennifer's overreacting about the booze. For the vast majority of people, it's not necessary to throw the baby sham out with the bathwater, and even without knowing the full history, I very much doubt that Jenny and Brian are directly responsible for Alice's alcoholism. Still, that said, at least Jenny's doing something, instead of just ignoring it and hoping it will go away. Hey, Brian. Is Rory playing a blinder here? Finally cashing in his chips from all those years of being sensible to get himself a party house that he and Bazo and Eggsy, or whatever they're called, can use and abuse for a month or two until Alice is miraculously fixed and can move home. Aha! This is another cliffhanger that we're having resolved by hearsay. Is this a new thing, or has it always worked like this? Rory's going to move in with Adam and Ian, and presumably Xander. Teenager studying for A-levels is moving in with an insufferable middle-aged couple with toddler. What could possibly go wrong? I'd say Rawls would never agree to it, except that he sounds like he already has. Oh dear.
I can't believe that's his first kiss, what he heard.
Mm.
It wasn't even a dramatic one, it was just a sort of sweet one, wasn't
it? No, but
it
was a bit, wasn't it? It was a bit, it was very evident that's what was
I didn't listen with headphones, so.
Very wise. Ian and Helen are one of those friendships where they don't speak for months and months and months, and then they go, oh, hi, best friend, when they see each other, which is just typical Archer's thing. But the reason they met is because she used to sell cheese to Gay Grables, and that's how she
Good insider info. I'd forgotten
Ian.
That.
Yes. What does Alice bring to the party?
Oh, sorry.
A bottle. That's what Alice brings to the party.
I suppose we really got to know her when she went, when her and Chris went to Las Vegas and came back married. And then it was like, they're the party couple. Mm. And that's all we've known. But then she was also very ambitious and, you know, she was going to be the breadwinner. And and a bit, she didn't want to have kids, did she? And they were just always going to be a sort of young, thriving couple.
Yeah. She doesn't, I know exactly what he means. If you look at her from the outside, she doesn't have many saving graces.
She doesn't, because she's not even very funny.
She's not, she's not like a,
you know, like not like
she's just a bag
Lillian.
Of issues. She's not kind of a formed person with an issue. She's just a bag of issues at the minute.
And she's never been very nice to, she's always been a bit snobby.
Mm, yeah.
Well, maybe that's just when she's drunk. But yeah, she's not hugely impressive, is she?
No.
Oh, I feel awful with slagging poor old Alice off.
Yeah.
And she's an alcoholic, poor love.
But maybe once she's solved her issues and had a good chat with herself and a bit of a lie down, then she might...
I tell you what we need to get her, Lucy. What? Let's get her one of those cushions that says, this house runs on Prosecco and love. That'll sort her out. As long as she knows she's loved.
Yes, and that there's a bottle nearby.
Yes.
Fine.
And now we go to Ambridge itself, where Joy Huerville is getting ready to hoist herself onto the couch. Sorry, Mr. Newbie.
What a gorgeous day, Jeff. Look at that, the village green, the grass glittering in the sun. Why is the grass glittering? Is that broken glass? Weird. Anyway, who is it today? Oh, Joy Huerville. Oh, yes. Oh, the lady who said she lived next door to a slave trader. I wasn't quite sure about that.
Hello again. How are you? Ages since I've seen you.
Mrs. Huerville, how nice to see you.
Well, a lot's been going on, so I thought I'd catch you up and... I've got something I'd like to run by you.
What's that?
Nudity.
Okay.
Since I came in to see you last, I've become a model. A nude one.
Wow, that's quite an achievement.
I know. I can't quite believe it myself. It all came about by accident. I was supposed to be sketching Lee. Oh, do you know Lee? He does martial arts. Young bloke. He's my new neighbour, in fact. Look, there he is. On the green. If you stand here, you can just see him. Oh, look, he's feeding the ducks on the pond. That's Lee all over, that is. So kind. Now the big geese are coming over. Look. Oh, they're getting quite close, aren't they? I hope he's all right. What's he feeding them? Looks like bits of his sandwich. Oh, he's run out. Looks like he's shaking the bag. Now they've got the bag. Oh, they're not happy, are they? Oh, they're very close. Oh, he can run quite fast backwards, can't he? Maybe that's all part of his martial arts training. Go on, Lee! Oh, no, he's fallen, look. That's very muddy, that bit. He'll not be happy about that. He's very fastidious. Oh, he's up again, still running. Bless him. They're not giving up, are they? There he goes. I think he's crying. Anyway, so that was Lee. So, I was supposed to be painting him, and then it turned out to be quite chilly in the studio at Lower Loxley, and Helen worried it would confuse everybody's perspective. So before I knew what was happening, I just volunteered.
And you enjoyed it?
I've never felt a thrill like it. I mean, it wasn't just the pose that Russ had me in, although that was quite strenuous and I definitely pulled something. But the freedom of it was life-changing.
Really?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm spending more time nude than ever before. At home, you know. I'm careful with it. Not if I'm cooking anything spitty or gardening. Although it's so overgrown at the moment, you'd struggle to find me clematis. But I just love the feeling of it. So I think I'm a naturist. Not like David Attenborough. Just nude, you know.
Right. Well, that sounds really healthy.
The thing is, do you think people would mind if I came out as nudist? I'd be sensitive about it, obviously. Not when I'm bell ringing or in the shop. Jim's insistent on masks. But, you know, if I was out and about, running errands or tinkering with my midget out the front even.
I'm not sure, really. I think that would count as exposure. You could be reported.
Well, the last thing I'd want is to be grappled naked to the ground by Harrison. Oh, that would be awful.
Yes. Mrs. Horville, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just taking my cardi off. Don't panic.
Okay. Well, I think nudity is a private thing, and within your own property you're entitled to behave as you like, as long as it doesn't upset other people. But I'm not sure you could wander around the village naked.
I just fancied doing a salute to the sun in the nip on the top of Lakey Hill.
Well, maybe you could disrobe when you were up there, possibly. I don't think walking up there in the nude would be appropriate.
You're probably right. It's a bit brambly. Well, that's disappointing, but I think you're right. I'd hate my naked body to be a bone of contention. Oh, no, look at the time. I'm going to be late. I've got trampoline in a Borges de Leisure.
You don't do that in the...
Oh, yes. It's smashing. So liberating. Me and the ladies from the Laurels go. Dentures everywhere. Anyway, I mustn't be late, so I'll be off. Thanks for the chat.
Blimey. Well, good for her. Jeff, let's go to the baker's. For some reason, I'm in the mood for a flowery bath. There'll be another podcast up next week, so subscribe to us on iTunes and you will never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email
ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
We are
at On Ambridge.
Ooh, that's Elizabeth on Twitter. Or you can follow Mr. Newbie on Twitter
at Newbie Couch.
And in the meantime, oh no, that's Blue, it's you.
It's Blue. It's goodbye from all of us. And have a lovely bank holiday weekend.
Oh, yes. I'd forgotten that.
Yes, it's bank holiday and the sun's shining. Hooray.